Well, in California, period. It's too late.
Too late.
Yeah.
So we can go back.
We took away three from it.
We took away basically three lengths from it.
We call it what?
Well, no, forget that. Now we're back into real thing. What we were trying to do was calculate a variance. We didn't want to use the fast eight because he had run so fast. That would penalize him and the rest of the card. So for this race, we said he only won by two, which means the race would have been three lengths slower. Now forget that. That we made that up. That was done with mirrors. Now we've said that the variant is fast four.
Well, I understand, but I just want to be able to do it with mirrors again.
Okay, then catch me a little. Unless someone else wants to be able to do that right now. Anybody else want that question answered right now? As to why we cut him to two and how we did it?
Just arbitrarily cut him to two. It's an average in California.
That's the average in California. Now we gave him credit for having won by 3.5 extra lengths. And we did not penalize the rest of the card because he happened to exceed in this race. All right, so Blackjack Road would be a horse to watch by a whole lot. Now in the next race, we said that that was fast what? The variance fast, yes.
First to ride, then we didn't figure a first to water.
I beg your pardon?
I said first to ride, then we figure a first to water.
Well, the rate, he's two under par. Two worse than par. If Blackjack Road exceeds par by four, he's beaten six. Okay? And these are a bunch of non-winners, and they're four-year-olds. I wouldn't get too excited about most of them. The Blackjack Road is the only one you really want to call out of this or bring out of this race. The rest are, if they match up well next time out, play it. Don't put them on a horse's watch list. Now look at the next race. Out of this particular race, who would be a horse to watch to bring for the next time out?
Wild Ridge.
Wouldn't Wild Ridge kind of fit the bill?
Yeah,
he already exceeded, because he got beat ahead, he already exceeded the maiden 50 par by four. And even if we're a little off, we left a question mark on this race, even if we're a little off, he's still much better than the maiden 50 par. Now, those of you that want to make punctuated melody a horse to watch, be careful with that. Because he's now going to have to go out of the maiden ranks and face winners, either in an Elmer's a one, or he's going to match him in a $50,000 tournament race or something like that. He's going to make a big class step. But Wildridge is not. Wildridge, throw out punctuated melody, and Wildridge beats a field of 10 other maiden 50s by 4.5 lengths.
Yeah.
That's the way you want to look at these things. That's what happened here. And you don't have to have made the variant. I mean, you can just get a feel for how fast or slow that track was, and you can see that this 116 was very fast for that level.
Excuse me, Tom. Why not Wildridge bring a pretty good price next time, having lost by four and odds of a little over 4-1? The average public wouldn't say it wasn't a very good rate.
No, he did not lose by four.
Okay,
that's backwards.
Right.
Now, Rumbo Seat next time will have lost by 4.5.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't get too excited about him because he didn't. He was still a length or two below the par himself.
Tom, you mentioned that you like to have a gap. Let's just say there was another horse right there with Wildridge.
Now, that would be the ideal situation. If Rumbo Seat had finished in the photo with Wildridge.
Right, so then you would like both of those then?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And Rumble Seat, actually, let's deal with that, because you're going to see that, and that's the kind of horse you're really looking for. Suppose that Rumble Seat now is beaten half a length by Wildridge, and the gap then is 4 to 30 keys. When you see Rumble Seat in his next start, you'd see his running line, and it'd finally show a third beaten half a length, three quarters, or something like that. And what the chart or the past performances do not show everybody, only you, because you've been in the charts, that there was a four-length gap to the fourth horse. And that's the kind that's really it. The horse that finished the second, there's been so much publicity about horses that finished second in maiden races being a great bet, right? That's not so true anymore. But it's still thought to be true, and to some extent it is. And so those horses are overbet. Wildridge will get bet next time. Come on. But had Rumble Seat been sitting there just behind him in third, Rumble Seat would not have been there.
Like Wilder. But he finished third.
And even better than that, if you want to carry it further, suppose there's a fourth horse in there. Now, generally speaking, there's a truth here, though, I want to share with you. Generally speaking, as you cluster four, five, and six horses that are close to the wire, that's usually a sign of a poor race. And just be aware of that in the back of your mind. It's usually a sign of a poor race. But if you've gone through the variant process and you know that the race was far from that, then if you have somebody that was fourth in that race, I mean, that horse slide will be 7-1 next time and would have a huge engine for the rest of the day. Okay. Take Wildridge on that list. Add it. Now let's go to the seventh race. Now this one here is by way of example as opposed to something you're going to be able to catch. In this race, Slew of Robber, in a race that was fast by, how many did we say, nine?
Nine, right.
And the track was fast six, so this race winds up fast three, right? So Slew the Robber winds up three lengths better than that pup. It just so happens that the gap between a non-winner's one and a non-winner's two is two lengths. So when it steps into a non-winner's of three, it's matched the non-winner's of three par, that's fine. Or a non-winner's of two par, I'm sorry. But the horse is also liable to be facing somebody coming down out of a stakes race. So Slew the Robber, even though it was better than par, is not the kind of horse I usually add on my list. Now the kind of horse I had on my list though was Sabatini. Unfortunately, Sabatini by herself was 40 cents on the dollar. So she's not a very well-guarded secret. But what I'm trying to do is illustrate the concept. Read the line on Sabatini here. A bit slow to begin, and four wide into the clubhouse turn. Now let's stop there. When the horse goes wide on the far turn, as they come into the stretch, it's a serious problem, but for the most part, the horses can deal with it because there are horses stopping there, there are horses that are coming back to them, and there are gaps opening, and a horse can deal with that, even though it's a real negative. The clubhouse turn, on the other hand, if you go four wide into the clubhouse turn, nobody's stopping. All those horses inside have got full momentum at that point. So you're coming around a turn like this, and everybody's moving with you. And that's all you're doing is kind of marking place, trying to stay right where you were. You're really hustling. And that's a serious problem. And for me, any day of the week, I consider 7/8 trouble much more serious than I do at the far turn. I'm sorry, Bill, I have to change your hand. So let's stop there. This horse is four wide into the clubhouse turn, so already you're in trouble if you played it at 40 cents on the dollar. She moved up quickly early to reach the front nearing the backstretch, established the pace, so on and so forth, and then continued on well enough to gain the place. Now what this guy is telling you, and he's a very good observer of races, is that she's not stopping. She may be a little tired, but she's not shortening stride. She's still finishing out, and she holds off the third place. So she's had that problem on the first turn by going four wide, and then runs well. In a race now, the key to this is that she's in a race that exceeded par by three. So she herself, after all that trouble, matched par. Because she was beaten 2.5 length. So in a non-winners of one, in which she maybe isn't hung outside, or gets clear, she should be able to beat that bit. And she'll probably be a short price. But that doesn't always happen. In Sabatini's case, it may be a short price. But this is the kind of horse you're looking for. That's serious trouble. We don't do anything with the Steinland race. And the Brandy race, we said it was five fast.
Five fast.
No, the race was five. Okay, the variant was six.
Slow
one. The $10,000 females, because one thing you have to understand is that the females at any of these racetracks are like two-year-olds in as much as they really protect them price-wise. They're always in for more than they're worth. And if you find them in for 10, most of them should be running for $2,500 probably, something like that. Okay. And so you've got the race that's slow one to start with, and there is, it's a horrible field. So we'll ignore that one. So when you see one like that, don't try to pull your horses to watch list out of these $10,000 races. It just won't work. Now go to page 6. On March 8th, the variant was also fast 6 for these routes, which says then that Bosphorus runs, tell me, anybody? Well, not so much. What's his actual time, though, if you adjust it by 6, fast 6? That's really what I'm looking for, because we're going to go back to the car chart. All right, he runs 1:42.3, right? Because if the track was fast 6, you'd then have to add 6 to his time to find out what his adjusted time was. Everybody know which way to go on these things? Well, anytime the track is listed fast, anytime, you add to the time. Because in other words, you have to slow the horse down because the track was too fast. If, on the other hand, the variant says slow, you take time off. So if I'd have said the track was slow 2, we'd say he ran 1:41 flat. Because the whole reason for a variant is to compensate for fast and slow tracks. So if it ran on a slow track, you modify the time in a positive way. If he ran on a fast track, you modify the time in a negative way. Now, if we modify this time to 1:42.3, go to the part-time chart again. Page 10. Now, where do you suppose you could safely bet Bosphorus back? All right. Somewhere between a classified allowance race and the stakes races listed here are not grade 1, grade 2. So in an open stakes race, he'd be just about competitive, but certainly in the classified allowance race. So this is strong rating. Now, what you're liable to see on this horse, and when you add him to your horses to watch list, and do that, by all means, add Bosphorus. Because you're liable to cash something decent on him. And he was actually a horse to watch this day, and I'll show you why in a few minutes.
Did you say this race was slow 1?
No, this race winds up. This race, the track was fast 6 that day. I'm not giving you a slow 1 of it. I'm saying that the variant was fast 6.
Okay.
So when you get that fast 6 variant, you add it to his time. His time then becomes 1:42.3.
Who's the net, I guess?
But this race before the variant, was it a fast 5? And making the variant, was this race fast 5? Before you even made the variant.
Oh, before I made the variant?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is a different day now.
Okay.
I'm just giving you the variant now. We're into a little different exercise, but let me tell you what it would have been then.
When you made the variant this morning, I thought it was...
No, we didn't use this race. We're into a whole different subject now.
Oh, okay.
All right, let me tell you what this race actually was, though. It's a nominal of 3.
Okay.
And it says a nominal of 3 should be run in 1:43.1. This race was run in 1:41.2, which says that this race was fast 9, as Bill, I think, said earlier.
Before the variant. Okay.
So what I'm saying now is Bosphorus can be back in a classified allowance race. More likely, this guy will ship him somewhere, and you'll find him servicing in a stakes race at one of these other races, or maybe even town. There's a very good chance you would get a price on Bosphorus where you probably won't in 17. The next race, the same day, which is March 8th, the day before we made our variant, but the variant that day was also fast 6, same as the one we made. Which says then that this Where's Machias race, if it was 1:42.3 on the surface, and it's adjusted by 6, becomes what?
1:43.4.
1:43.4. Now go to your part-time chart and tell me where that particular performance fits on the parts. What? Okay, we'll get back into the claiming bracket, but you're right.
Oh,
you're numbers 1s and 32s are the same. So you made the right observation.
32.
32, right? Now, what level was he running for this day? Does anybody have any trouble getting from the fast six to the 140, what did I say it was? 143 and 4 to the part-time chart? Because if you make your own variant or get one from me in that format, you're going to have to be able to make that kind of an adjustment. All right. Where does he fit then based on this race?
32.
Okay. You don't want to see him at 32 because he'll catch horses coming from 40 and 50 probably. But where would he logically appear next time?
20.
Wouldn't he? They'll step him up. Now, if they don't step him up, you don't want any part of him. I'm serious. If they don't step him up, you don't want any part of this guy. But, because he's a recent claim by these guys, by this Marcus Murphy just claimed him a couple of races back. And he claimed him from a fellow by the name of Ron Stevens from the Northwest, who, to my knowledge, hasn't got a winner here. Maybe ever. But I think he's Gary Stevens' father. Right. Who, Ron Stevens? Is it his uncle? I said, he was claimed by Marcus Murphy away from Ron Stevens. Okay, I thought it was his father, but uncle sounds fine.
I think it is his father.
Okay. But no matter what, what I'm saying, though, is that the trainer that had him doesn't win here anyway. So it's understandable that the horses are going. Now, Marcus Murphy claims him, runs him once, maybe twice, and all of a sudden the horse explodes. If he leaves him at this level, the guy's kind of dissatisfied with the way he got him back to the barn, so it's probably not going to happen. You'll see him at 20, you may see him at 25. Would he be a good bet at 20?
Yes.
Outstanding.
Yes.
But assuming he's back in 3 weeks or something like that, I mean, if he's out for 6 weeks or something like that after a win like this, you don't expect this win to be repeated. Suppose he's in for 25 next time. He's very competitive, isn't he? He's already matched the 25 by one. I mean, he's already run 32. So he'd be really tough at 20 or 25. The double jump to 25, if they double jump the horse to 25, the only thing more positive than that would be for Marcus Murphy to send you personally a telegram that says, I really like this horse. Okay? I mean, that's just yelling at you that I really like it.
Yes? The horse ran above par for his class.
I'm sorry, what was that?
The horse ran above par for the class that he was in.
Yes.
Suppose he just ran par. And next time out, if he wasn't stepped out, he stepped up. Would you still throw him out?
No. Uh-uh. No, because if he ran, there's a horse that ran yesterday, a horse called Superb Omen. The horse just won by in a 22, was in a 25, entered for 22.5. And it was in a dead heat, which says it didn't draw away from the field. Two horses did. The guy brought it right back for 22.5. This is a legitimate bet. Okay. Now, had he dropped to 16 off of that 22.5 in which he won easy, that would be a negative. But this guy shouldn't be back. I mean, he really shouldn't be back at 16. What he's saying is, I've got a horse that if you did any work at all, you know is worth 32 at the moment, possibly. 25 for sure. But everybody knows that did this kind of job, right? Now I'm going to offer it to you for 16. I mean, what a deal I got for you. Right? Give me a check so I can cash it before the race, though. That would really be a negative. Not always, but they're always over bet. I mean, don't you think that if they entered him again at 16, he'd be about 6 to 5? So you get the worst of all worlds with that. Turn the page to page 7. Now this is going to illustrate a couple of things. This fourth race at the top adjusts to 109 and 1. I'm going to do that work for you now. It adjusts to 109 and 1, which is classified allowance stakes capability. It's really a powerful race. Made even more powerful by the fact that 80 below zero dropped out of this race to a $32,000 race, which is only, it's only like the one level drop here, because a 32 equates to a number as a one if you look at your bar chart. So any below zero dropped out of this race to a field of 32s. 32s are tough horses to beat. And he ran off and hit. He just opened up and never looked back. He won by about three at the end. Now, let's look at this race for just a minute. In this particular race, though, he's six lengths behind a horse called Lucky So-and-So. Does that say that the 3G's Lucky So-and-So race is probably very strong? Okay, for a couple of reasons. One is that it's so much better than par. Secondly, because of what 80 Below Zero did out of this race. Now, Lucky So-and-So has been back since then.
Grass race?
But on the grass race down the hill, he must be very temperamental because three races back he ran super in a sprint. Four races back. Then they routed him, and he ran last after being in a good spot coming into the stretch. Then they ran him in this race off of those, and he runs a length and three quarters off of a race that equates to a classified allowance stakes time. And then they run him down the hill at 6.5 furlongs, and he runs last again. Where is he going to be? Where's he going to be next time?
6 furlongs.
You're right. I mean, if he comes back now at 6 furlongs under the same conditions in some reasonable amount of time, I would throw out his route race, and I would throw out his 6.5 furlongs down to turf, and the two races you'll be looking at then are very good, especially this one. He's on your horses to watch this. Put him there. I mean, don't ignore this. Depending upon what they do with 3Gs, he also may be. Because he's so much better than the park for this race, that he's liable to come back in a good spot, too. I want you to consider one other thing. I'm going to give you three numbers. You can write them down for future reference. Without doing the variant, anything else, you can look at the power of some of these races in the following way. Turn time. To me, turn time, especially in the sprints at San Anita, is the most powerful individual fraction. It's more powerful than most of the formulas. It's just a very strong way of playing the races. It's a great indication as to how what kind of condition a horse is in. So horses like Lucky So-and-So, if you look at this race runs around a turn in 22 and 4. Now the three numbers I'm going to give you are lower to middle range claiming a normal turn time that you can expect is 23-1. A lot of the races are run in 23-1. The better claiming types, maiden, that kind of a race, is generally 23. The higher class races,